Robin, he woke.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with the Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We get into all kinds of different stuff. We can talk about the Thunder over the weekend, a great win in Denver. A team that had defeated Oklahoma City, what, the third game of the year? It was the home opener, like by almost 40. OKC turns around a double-digit deficit in the fourth quarter. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with the game winner, but man, a bunch of people contributed in that comeback win. So we could talk about that or anything else in the NBA. We never really got to the in-season stuff, right? The in-season tournament last week. We thought about it, had it on, but never really got there as far as what you thought about that and maybe how to fix it or how to improve it, I guess. So there's that. There's all kinds of other things in the NBA with Draymond Green's craziness and all that. So we hit a little bit of that. Also, NFL this week, we can, now that college football is kind of at the in-between times, we're going to hit some NFL. Cowboys, what the world? What in the world happened? About the time you start to have a little faith in the Dallas Cowboys, it shows that something like that happens. And all the naysayers get to come out of the woodwork today and have a nice little chuckle.
Isn't that funny how that works?
At the Cowboys. Oh, they're the only team that's judged like a college team.
And now the Bills are suddenly Super Bowl contenders at 8-5 or 8-4.
8-6.
8-6, whatever their record is. It's so funny to me. One loss and all of a sudden people come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, but it's just because it continues a trend that's happened for 30 years now for Dallas. And everything that everybody said about why Buffalo would win this game came true. Dallas has been beating up bad teams at home. Home. We look at what they've done on the road. It's not nearly as impressive, and sure enough, it just the same problems that the Cowboys have had even in this stretch of play, reared their ugly head, and that is if somebody wants to run it right at them, they can't stop it. And yesterday, James cooked them. See what I did there?
Oh, yeah, I saw or heard.
Took that from Josh Allen. All right. Baker Mayfield did something yesterday that nobody has ever done. Did you see this?
Yeah, I did.
Unbelievable performance by him. And then two teams just absolutely rolling right now in the NFL. See if you can guess which two I have in my mind. Then we get some high school hoops from over the weekend, Friday and Saturday. Kind of put a little bow on that heading into the Christmas break and then what maybe to look forward to after Christmas. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app has it all. Radio, the Penny News, you can check it out online. Big Elk and Paragon TV, which will be full force basketball once the calendar hits January. And then also the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you happen to miss the show entirely one day, you can just go back anywhere where podcasts drop. You can find us there and you can see what the subject matter was on any particular day. How are you today, Jared?
Good. Good. Enjoying this weather. Man, yesterday was beautiful.
It was shockingly nice.
I had to do some stuff outside and I threw a hoodie on and man, I had to shed that hoodie in a hurry.
I had to do some stuff outside too. It was called golf.
I had a feeling the golf course was going to be busy yesterday.
It was. I started out with this little jacket I've got on right now.
Yeah.
A pair of shorts And by the middle of the first hole, the jacket was gone. I did not need it.
No.
And there was times where, you know, there wasn't much wind whatsoever.
No, that was the beautiful part. If there was wind, it might have been cooler than what it was.
And there's different places because if it was kind of a north breeze when any of it was there. And so if you got, especially on the front nine, got back there, like on number six tee box, where it juts up to the houses, that to the north side of it, mm-hmm. we were standing there and everybody's like, man, I'm sweating. Just stay, you know, it was really warm right there, but a gorgeous, gorgeous day, no doubt about it. So we got done and it was like, you know, it felt like it was just a regular old spring day, right? Because of how nice it was. And then sit down and go inside and, you know, the Christmas tree is up. And you're like, man, we're literally 1 week away from Christmas Eve right now.
Right. That's weird, but it was nice. Like it when we get those days on a weekend.
Yeah. We're going to have a bunch of them right here through the week, looks like.
Yeah.
Kind of mid to upper 50s, maybe a 60 thrown in there every now and then.
Very comfortable for this time of year, sure. Yeah,
oh, shocking.
I bet the like you said, I bet the golf courses be busy this holiday season.
Yeah, especially once you get toward the end of the week.
Sure. Oh yeah, you're gonna have
if
some.
The days can stay like I'm looking right now. Thursday, 40% chance of showers, but a high of 59. Then Friday, 20% chance with a high of 60. I would imagine Friday afternoon could be a busy time out there.
Oh, I bet. I bet so. I haven't been out there. Is the new clubhouse all Christmassy?
Yeah.
I bet you that's gorgeous.
There's some lights on the outside. There's a bunch of poinsettias.
Yeah.
And a really awesome Christmas tree, courtesy of our friends at Barbara Dyson, or David, actually. His wife, Shanna, put it up and decorated it inside the bar. It's awesome.
Great.
It's a huge tree.
Any presents underneath?
I think there are, but I don't know if it's actually presents.
They fake presents, those fake ones.
Maybe just the box that is wrapped nicely. I haven't picked one up and shook it yet to see. I'm afraid it might be a cat. grandma's Jell-O mold.
Jell-O mold. Yeah.
We do this every year, but have you got into the Christmas season yet with watching any of
movies?
The Christmas movies.
Not really. I'm not being a Grinch about it. I just haven't really
got there.
Now the kids do. Feels like we've seen Home Alone 1 and 2 on repeat this Christmas season. They really enjoy those movies. But and my wife she's watched some in the bedroom when she's wrapping
now,
presents.
Now, does she watch like the normal ones, or does she flip it over to like the Hallmark channel?
No, she had me get her, I think it's a Christmas movie. It's called The Holiday. I don't know. I think Jack Black's in it. It's some kind of romance movie. I don't know.
That was on my TV when I arrived home.
Oh, was it?
On Friday.
Interesting.
From the gym.
It was, what day did I get that for? Either Friday or Saturday. Might have been Friday. I was home Friday. Didn't have games. But, anyways, the girls watch all the kids' ones and stuff. I really enjoy it. It's turned into a tradition since we've had kids when we put them to bed and then, you know, Santa comes. I don't want to give too much away. But we turn on Christmas Vacation at that time. And that's what me and Allie watch when we're getting Christmas ready during that time. Because, you know, still it's not really family appropriate yet for a 10-year-old and 7-year-old.
Not all the way.
Not all the way. Some parts they might think is funny. Other parts.
Hey, kids, look a deer.
They'll ask. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. See, look, Russ, no lines.
Yeah. Meli Kaliki Maka. I heard that yesterday.
Yeah.
I think it was maybe on KCO.
So. Me and Allie watched. That's turned into a tradition for us to watch that.
Okay, so we had Kara and I were talking about this coming home from Sunday school yesterday, and we were talking about which movies of the Christmas season that we hadn't really watched any yet. Would we watch any? If so, what? And I have three that I feel like need to be on the viewing list each and every year. Christmas Vacation is one of them.
Right.
And really no order. I mean, I could put them in an order, but there's three. Christmas Vacation, Elf.
Yes.
And then, as Kara calls it, and then that sad one you like. And I was like, I knew what she was talking about. And so we had a discussion on whether or not, is there any world in which It's a Wonderful Life could be labeled a sad movie?
It has a happy ending, doesn't it?
Isn't that the whole point?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about what happens at the end. George doesn't go to prison. The town comes together and he gets all the money. And they ended up, at the end of the day, George beats Potter. Now, are there some rough times in there?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, there's rough times. But that's the whole point of it.
It sets up the happy ending, though.
George, you have to be with us in order for this all to work. But that's the other one that I feel like I have to watch. Those three are always on my Christmas viewing list.
Those are good. Elf's good. You know, it's 20 years. 20-year anniversary.
I can't believe it's been
Elf.
That old.
I didn't realize that till I saw a thing. But man, that's when that one came out, it was like an instant classic. Everybody had to watch Elf. It's a good movie. Elf, yeah, that's a good one. I mentioned Christmas Vacation. That's a good one. I'm checking the other Christmas movies.
There's a bunch of them.
I like the Home Alone, Home Alone 1 and 2. Those other straight to video stuff I don't care for.
Text line.
Die Hard, yes.
That's
yes.
You know, this is the time where it's always the giant discussion about, is Die Hard a Christmas movie or is it just set at a Christmas party?
Well, in that case, there are a lot of Christmas movies. Yeah, but I do watch that around Christmas time. I almost did that last time. My girls were staying at mother-in-law's house last night, and it was just me and Allie. And then when there's no kids in the house, I try to watch the most foul rated R movie as possible because there's no kids in the house. I never get an opportunity to do that. And I almost turned Die Hard on, but we didn't do that. We didn't watch
Bad
that.
Santa. That
Bad
one's pretty,
Santa's a funny
that
one.
One's pretty.
That's a good one.
Whoa. A lot of love for A Christmas Story. Of course, that's always the 24. And,
that's
you know,
a good
I've
one,
noticed
too, the 24-hour. Yeah,
but
Christmas
I've noticed
Day.
They started doing more of those movies that way. Elf has already gone through its 24 hours. Christmas Vacation will go through a 24 hour. And then, of course, yeah, Christmas Story. Seems like it starts Christmas Eve at like 7 or 8 o'clock and then runs all the way throughout Christmas Eve night into Christmas.
What holiday does not get enough love for movies? You know what I mean? Christmas, there's a ton of Christmas movies. I kind of think Thanksgiving comes up short on
Thanksgiving gets
planes,
the shaft on
planes,
about everything.
Planes, trains, and automobiles, the only one I can think of because they're trying to get home for Thanksgiving. It's the only one I can think of.
That's got some pretty funny parts.
Oh, that's a funny movie. That's a good movie. But there's other holiday, you know, it's always...
Well, it's too close to Christmas.
Yeah.
No one's going to make a Thanksgiving movie when you can just make a Christmas one.
Right, yeah.
Thanksgiving gets put down quite often, just in life. You know the biggest problem that people have associated Thanksgiving with? And it's really kind of pumpkin.
Pumpkin. Ugh. And pumpkin pie and pumpkin spice on everything.
Yes. Pecan is the clear winner in the pecan-pumpkin debate.
Yeah.
It's not even close. But yet, that makes Thanksgiving go down a notch in people's minds.
Is Wyatt too old for Santa to go see him?
He's not here, so.
Too cool for school.
Probably that.
Yeah.
Probably thinks he's too cool.
We went and saw Santa Saturday night. So
I
last
saw
night
a bunch of
park.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of people there on the Facebook posts
that
were at Santa. That would probably never cross his mind to want to go do that.
Yeah.
Unless maybe buddies were going to, who knows. I did see some of his buddies were there. Yeah. It's been a strange time in our house. This Christmas season with getting older.
Right.
One thing is kind of gone away and another hasn't.
I don't want to ruin it for kids, but
no.
Does he still, is this Elf in the Shelf
Tim,
still a thing?
Tim is the thing,
still
man.
Still a thing. Okay, good. Good.
Tim is a thing. Which is so funny that he nicknamed his elf Tim.
Well, Katie's getting a little smart. She's leaving notes for these elves, and she's starting to hide them.
Oh, yeah?
And she'll go, well, he didn't reply to my note. And now they're like, what note? Well, it's right here. I put it right here in the Christmas tree roll, and he could see it.
Oh, well.
Goodness gracious.
We turned out the lights before he moved.
She's kind of getting wise to it. Like, she's, one note was, where are our advent calendars? You brought them the last 2 years. I really would like an advent calendar. She knows who she's writing those notes to.
Yeah, that was pretty, that was kind of a whoa because of the other discussion that, you know, he's kind of had with us, made comments. And then, I don't know, it was like the 4th of December. He's like, man, when does Tim come? I'm like, oh, I don't know. Maybe we need to put up the Christmas tree so he'll come. I don't know what to tell you. Oh, boom, there he was. Sure enough, it was the tree.
Yeah, it was the tree. Yeah.
He was the tree. He's waiting on the Christmas spirit to flood the house. Anyhow, high school hoops on Friday. Not a great night here at the Pioneer Center with Tuttle in town. Lady Tiger, both teams, 25-point wins over the Elks and the Elkettes. Strange thing in the Big Elk game. And I wish somebody could explain to me why this is still a thing. So, you know, the game, the girls' game is over. The boys get on the floor. You know, and every other time you hear like the ball bounce and then wham, somebody's slamming it. Somebody's dunking in pregame. You know what I mean?
Oh, right.
You just,
right,
you know,
right,
how you hear the rim pop and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's going both, I mean, just constant. You know, you look down there at Tuttle, they've got 6'9", 6'4", 6'3". We got some guys that try to dunk. Don't know if you really call what they do dunking, you know? You know, like the finger roll, grab the rim type dunk.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's
yeah,
kind of where, you know, there's nobody's just going up and just cramming one home.
Sure.
On the wide end. You know, the Tuttle end, or the brown and white end, the other end, you know, just bam, bam, behind your head. I mean, it's – and so the game starts, and guess what happened? I still don't understand why this is a thing. So the referees walk out. They see one of our guys grab the rim. They call a technical foul. It's 2023. Can we not move past the pregame dunking technical foul in high school basketball? Is there any more – pointless exercise? What is the point now? Now, maybe back in the day when the rims weren't breakaway and you might be able to get somebody that would literally break the backboard or
yeah,
smoke the rim off, maybe that makes sense to not endanger the actual game being played. That ain't happening, folks. You know what I'm saying? That ain't happening
yeah,
no more. So I don't guess I even understand the point of that being a thing.
I don't know. I'm racking my brain. I mean, is it player safety? But that's stupid because they're going to dunk in the game. So, I mean, either.
I don't know.
I don't get it.
I'm not even saying why do you call. I'm saying why is it even a call that can be made? I don't understand
yeah,
the point of that still being a thing out there. But it was, and so sure enough, it was 2-0 before there wasn't even a tip. The Elite Aesthetics tip didn't even happen because it was the
technical free
throws, Tuttle got the
and
ball.
Then Tuttle gets the ball. Yeah.
Boom, and quite frankly, as that game was over before the clock even started.
Yeah.
With the way that first quarter went, Tuttle outscoring the Elks 27-6. You know, there was two bad stretches. One for the boys there. Obviously, then they played the next three quarters. It was a 4-point game, right? But you get so far behind, it doesn't really matter. And then on the girls' side, back and forth for a bunch of the first half, and then about the last 3 or 4 minutes of that first half, they got Tuttle expanded a lead out, and the Elkettes could never really get back. Then on Saturday, two just heartbreaking losses up at Woodward. The Elkettes had an 8-point lead at right about the end of the third quarter. Tuttle went on a mini run, or Woodward went on a mini run to pull back within three, and then the fourth quarter was just a free throw fest because team got in the, you know, that five fouls. It didn't take long, and you know, there it was. And Woodward did a heck of a job in the second half, especially getting to the line, and they did a heck of a job making their free throws. They ended up, 27 of 32 from the free throw line, something like that.
That blows my mind. That many free throws?
They were 23. It wasn't quite. They were, 32 free throws. They were 23 of 28 in the second half. 23 of 28. So kudos to them for making them when they got there. It was crazy. They scored, it was 31-28 at halftime and ended up 60-56. So they scored 32 points in the second half on four field goals.
How long did that game take?
Forever.
Forgive me for not watching, but
forever.
That had to take forever.
It was a long one. In the boys' game up at Woodward, the Elks were down 13 at halftime. I think it might have even gotten to 15 early in the third quarter. And then they played as good a half as they played all year to get all the way back in it. They never took a lead. They were tied. Had a couple of chances to take the lead and just couldn't. And then Woodward ends up winning that game. 53-50 was the final score. So two just tough losses on Saturday up at Woodward, because it's two games that you walked out of there thinking, man, should have won that game, and just didn't do it, you know. And so the Elkettes go 1-7 in the first part of the season, very, very young, but you can see them getting better. And then the Elks, 2-6, it feels like they've played the last week by far their best basketball. But as we always talk about with them, with the Western Conference, man, there's no let up, you know, schedule wise. As you look up, you come out of the Christmas break. Home game on that Tuesday, the 2nd, and who do you got? Anadarko. Anadarko's number 3 on the girls' side, and what are they on the boys? 7. So, bam, there you are, right in your face to get started. Team that we talked about a bunch on Friday, when we were kind of discussing who has played the best so far as far as the Paragon TV schools, I don't think there's any doubt about, after what happened on Friday, Leedy has been the best boys team. As they knock off Sealing, I get it. Sealing hadn't been in the gym. They're coming off a state title in football. But still, that's a state tournament team from a year ago. I think a semifinals team from a year ago, if I remember right. And they go up to Leedy, and Leedy knocks them off 49-41. So you look at the last week of what Leedy's accomplished. Visayas ranked in Class B. Red Oaks ranked in Class A. Okarchi's a top 5 team in Class A. Sealing a top 10 team in Class A. They beat them all. It's a really, really good run for the Bison now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 10 in a row since starting 2-2. Really, really good there for the Leedy Bison.
I'm impressed that staying with Sealing as long as they did, and then you do that, you got an opportunity to. And I think a little bit was, you know, we gave two scenarios of what could happen. You can catch a team in Sealing just getting into basketball shape, and Leedy was rolling going into that game, and, you know, getting them at home Friday before Christmas break, all that stuff. And then it worked out for them. Or the other scenario was Sealing just has athletes, and they're going to be, you know, they're going to bring the fight. But I don't know. I think it might have been a little bit of column A, but I think a lot of it, of that win, came with Leedy boys are just getting better. They are getting better on the court. Their Carpenter has them rolling as expected. They're on a heater right now. So I'm not trying to take away them winning just because Sealing just got into the gym. I don't think that's the case. I think Leedy was the better team. From I had it on going in and out of it, and they just looked the part. So, good win, big win for Leedy. It's almost a shame they got to stop playing for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and as Lake said, this is kind of the way they played at the first of the season last year, and then in the gym over the Christmas break is when Puffenbarger hurt his foot, and that really derailed them, I thought, throughout the second half of the season, and couldn't quite ever get that magic back from walking off the floor with a 5-county conference tournament win last year on the boys' side, and it just never materialized for a lot of different reasons in the second half of the season. On the girls, did you watch any of that girls' game? Ceiling was just dominant, and I figured that's probably the case.
In
on
a
most
way,
nights.
I did. I was on tech support with it on while I was helping out. They're having some audio issues, so yeah. But I mean, that kind of I think went the way we thought it'd go. It didn't. Lady's not a bad team. It's
ceiling's awesome.
Ceiling's just awesome. And what's crazy is you look down there watching that game, and there's a lot of familiar names and familiar faces on that court still. I'm like, how is that girl still playing? It's been like 6 years.
Yeah,
you know?
A bunch of them are finally seniors.
Yeah. And they're a lot of them. I think one of them, and I forgive me for not remembering who. You know, maybe more than one already signed to play at the next level. Like their future set, they know where they're going. I think one's going to Southern Naz, and I'm sure others will follow to go up to different colleges. But it's just a machine right now, Ceiling girls basketball, an absolute machine.
That nucleus, Whetstone.
Whetstone, I think, might have been the one.
Whetstone, Gore, and Nyberg have, you know, they've been in the starting lineup, it feels like, for all 4 years of their high school tenure. You know, the first year, too young to have much for Hydro in the semifinals that year when Hydro ended up beating that they had that tall girl that went to Arkansas, Van Oss, in the finals. And then the next year was that awesome final between Hydro Eakley and Ceiling, that Ceiling knocked off Hydro at the buzzer. And then, of course, last year, kind of more of a dominant roll through, beating a pretty dang good a Caddo team that won the Bertha Frank Teague and handling them pretty easily in the final. So, yeah, good luck. Somebody, whoever it is, good luck. Trying to figure out somebody that can really kind of challenge the Lady Cats as they're just on another one of those roles. I mean, it's been amazing. You know, four in a row with the Twins and that group, just a small little – a small step back meant semifinals, right? You know, there was one year they didn't make it to the state tournament until this new group got to be a freshman in high school, and ever since then they've been a fixture with the semifinal appearance and back-to-back state titles going into their senior year. So yeah, it's gonna be
small step back, and they're still making state, still making semifinals.
Exactly.
Boy, the coach's job was really on the line there.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Kidding. His job's pretty secure.
Then let's see who else. Hammond, man, I thought that was the surprise boys win, right?
I guess they started early.
Hammond over Eric.
Yeah, that's a good win. I was because I think they started like at 6.
Oh, they did. Well, the scores started rolling in. Ed was firing scores before we even tipped off.
Well, like I said, I didn't have games, so I was kind of channel surfing on the Paragon Network and. You know, got the Ceiling or the Leedy game going, and then I went and turned it to Hammond, and they were almost close to halftime, and it was a lopsided score. I'm like, whoa, how did this – what's going on? They had to have started early. Mm-hmm. It was homecoming. Maybe they wanted to do – I don't know when they do homecomings between games or something. Maybe they wanted to start early. So.
A lot of them do it after now, it seems like. If you
know at Canoe, we did it before.
Before,
just got it over with, yeah. So – that was a dominant performance. You know, I was kind of questioning Hammond outside of West, you know, replacing some players. You know, they had the buzzer-beating win at the South Canadian Classic. You know, they escaped and they won. I was kind of questioning, but that they still are the cream of the crop, at least in this area in Class B. They are very, very good.
Yeah. I think that I'm excited to see what happens next week with Merritt going down to the Bertha Frank Teague and kind of see where they stack up with those teams that are in that tournament. Start with Bing, as we mentioned.
Which is essentially a home game for Bing.
Yeah, the host. That's an 8 o'clock. And then, golly, do you remember who was on their side of the bracket?
Oh, man.
Bethel and a big school. Was it Carl Albert or McAllister? I think it's Carl Albert. I think Carl Albert and Bethel are on the same time.
Racing for
the bracket.
Same
side of the bracket. as Merritt.
I know they're...
Yeah, there we go. Carl Albert.
Carl Albert, yeah. Yeah.
So that's, you know, you're talking about a top five team in 3A in Bethel. Still haven't seen rankings for 5A and 6A, but Carl Albert's been very good to start the season. I think they only had one loss so far. So, that, you know, that's going to be a solid field, if not spectacular field, each and every year that we see. So it'll be fun to kind of – it'll be fun to get them kind of a gauge on exactly where the Oilerettes are at, because they've just dominated so far at 5-0.
I've seen a lot of good teams go to that tournament and maybe get one win or go, you know, come away with no wins, but still have a really good season. That's how good that tournament is. There's no layups. So, yeah, if they were to lose that opening round game and then win two more, I mean, what year was that? Hammond did that. They lost their opening round game. Turn around, won the next two, won the Constellation Championship, and they walked away feeling pretty dang good about themselves. Then they went and won state.
Yeah, it was that year,
18,
2018.
17, 18. Yeah. That's pretty good. What's up?
Breaking news.
Breaking sports news?
Yeah, sad breaking news.
Oh, no.
You remember Eric Montross? North Carolina basketball?
A little bit.
He passed away.
How old?
52. Man.
Well, darn.
That's a dude from, like, when college basketball was still rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, that's terrible. Terrible news. High school hoop's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I think there's better teams, maybe, than I thought to start the season. That makes sense. I think there's more good teams than what I realized. So it'll be fun, as it always is. We'll have brackets for the tournaments coming up here.
I was telling you off air.
First week of January.
West Central basketball tournament brackets already out. That's what, third week of January? Looking, yeah.
Usually, yeah.
15th through 20th. Then the Merritt tournament, that's actually the first week of January. I haven't seen a bracket for that. I do know they've met and seeded all that, so I expect a bracket sometime between now and obviously then. But that there's always some really good teams that go to that one. Obviously, Merritt will be there. Of course, Canute will be there. I think Hooker's coming down, which they always have a couple good teams.
Yes, it seemed like Ceiling has been there before.
Ceiling's been there.
No,
what
no,
you
no, no.
About the Bi-County?
It's the Bi-County. It's the Bi-County. Yeah. That is correct. The Bi-County that's shifted to Merritt now, ever since COVID.
I'm trying to think of last year who was in that tournament. Mangum was in it.
The Merritt Classic?
The Merritt Classic.
Usually Mangum, Hollis. Does Hollis still come?
Hollis would come up. Like I said, Arnett Hooker would come down.
Arnett would be in that sometimes. Hobart would be in it sometimes.
Yeah. There's a mix of some 2A and A. Maybe not Class B. But it's good. It's a good tournament.
I'll tell you what else is good.
Good food, man.
They
have their they're smart. I think they're using their home ec room. And why wouldn't you? It got this full kitchen in there.
Mr. Bradshaw's bread pudding is phenomenal.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
From years past that I can remember. The Burox night is good. Debbie Wilson, a lot of times makes, I think it was a Dr. Pepper cake or a Coke. It was super good.
There was, it was like a smorgasbord of just too many options. I guess there's no such thing as too many options of food, but I'd walk in there. Last year I walked in, I'm like, whoa. So I need another plate.
The smoker gets fired up at some point. There's always really good food out there. There's no doubt about that. One of the best hospitality rooms that you can frequent.
Yeah.
Is at the Merritt Classic.
Yeah, and I was fortunate. Last year, I was the first game on that Thursday. Remember, I did the show on location. And so I got my lunch there. That got the first two games done, and by about 1 o'clock, I went over to the – and so there was nobody – it was on Thursday, not a lot of people were – in the hospitality room, so I had my pick there. I dug in.
There you go. Laverne, Merritt, Hooker, Canute, Turpin, some of the teams that have been coming down for that Merritt Classic. What happened to the Cowboys yesterday, Jared? Just a no-show.
Yeah, they just didn't show up.
It was, from America's team.
Yeah, they just didn't show up. And it's the tone was set early, I think, with the stupid penalties. I mean, you know, there's even opportunities where you know, when Buffalo went and scored and to start the game, and then Dallas was trying to, you know, score, and there was a – and I was listening – I was on the radio listening, and the personal foul against Buffalo for hitting a defenseless man in Dak Prescott, but then there's the retaliation, which canceled each other out, sure, but you would really love those 15 yards. There's that. There's the hit on the wide receiver. That, I mean, clearly it was incomplete and hit him. It just sometimes you just get those, and when those were happening, I was just screaming at the TV about being undisciplined and being stupid. I mean, there's no reason to retaliate. You got the flag. I know you're trying to set a tone and you're trying to stick up for your boy and whatever, but be smart right there. Take the 15 yards. Put yourself in a good position. And who knows? Dallas, I don't know. I'm not a fortune teller, but if the retaliation penalty hadn't happened, what if Dallas goes and scores, makes it 7-7, and it's a totally different ball game? You're trading punches instead of taking the punches like Dallas did all night.
Yeah, the first three drives, the first three scores for the Buffalo were aided by penalties. Yeah. You know, DeMarcus Lawrence, that one was a little iffy as far as Josh Allen. He's really good at flopping and getting roughing the passer calls. That's what happened there. But
and don't then, give him that opportunity.
Well,
you hit the kicker. Thank you. Yeah, that one.
And then the one you talked about with the defenseless receiver, and then it's 21-3. But the truth is, Dallas had nothing for Buffalo. They did not move the football whatsoever when the game was even sort of in play. Dallas could not generate any offense, and I think that's the – when you have to go on the road, which they're going to have to go on the road in the playoffs – And unless you can, you know, get to go to the Dome in Detroit, you're more than likely going to be outside at either San Francisco, which can get pretty cool at night, or you're going to have to do it at Philly, which who knows what the weather can be, and what travels in the playoffs? Defense and being able to run the football. And defense hasn't been necessarily a problem for the Cowboys outside of a couple of games. Run game has. Dallas has not been able to run the football at the level that they're accustomed to, especially since, say, Tyron and Zach Martin and that line kind of came to be a decade ago. This season has been a struggle. Is it Pollard? Is it the line? Whatever it is, you look up and the Cowboys just were unable to compete because they couldn't run the ball in sloppy, cool, rainy weather. You know, Josh Allen did nothing. That's the scary part, I think, if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan right now today. You held Josh Allen to 7 of 15 for 94 yards and a touchdown. That should be a win.
Yeah.
And not only was it not a win, you got your butt stomped into the turf in Buffalo. James Cook, 25 for 179 and a touchdown. It just – the Cowboys, this is their bugaboo of that defense. They can run around and they're fast and, you know, Parsons and whoever, and Lawrence and all that speed. But can they stop anybody from just running it right down their throat? It's always been the problem with trying to beat San Francisco because the 49ers can do that, and it was clearly the issue yesterday with Buffalo just running it right down their throat.
Yeah. And it's stuff they're going to have to quickly address if they want to have a deep playoff run.
7-0 at home, 3-4 on the road. And it's and here's the thing. Yeah, they went to Philly. Yeah, they went to San Francisco. And then, you know, Buffalo. You also lose to the Cardinals on the road back in week three. That Chargers team, that's an absolute debacle. It took a game-winning field goal, you know, 20-17 there. The Panthers, they end up winning 33-10 on the road, but they didn't play very well against the Panthers for a lot of that game. And so there's some issues that have to be addressed, and it'll start on Christmas Eve afternoon going down to Miami. Now, I think that's a way better matchup for Dallas. than Buffalo was. Because Miami's more of a speed team. They've got running backs, but they're not necessarily just going to run it down your throat. They've got offensive line issues with injury, too. So I think this is a better matchup for them than what Buffalo was. But I don't know that the Bills have just been running it down anybody's throat until yesterday either. So pretty concerning, I think, with what – just not that it happened, but that it happened the same way that it has been happening, right, mm-hmm. when, for the last 3 or 4 years. The teams that Dallas doesn't seem to be able to beat are the teams that can just run it right at them. And they still haven't necessarily fixed that problem on defense. So it was no good. No good whatsoever. What was good, man, what about Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, perfect QBR.
Perfect rating.
Rating in at Lambeau, the best that ever a visiting quarterback's done.
It's the only time a visiting quarterback has ever had a perfect rating in a game in Lambeau Field. It's also the first time that a visiting quarterback has thrown 4 touchdowns and completed over 75% of his passes on Lambeau Field. I mean, I say this a lot in baseball just because baseball's been around for so long. But the same applies in football, and especially with a franchise like the Packers. If you're the only one to ever do something, good or bad, that's pretty amazing, right?
Yeah, that's true. A lot of talk now, and I was trying to separate it from the homers, from Norman, or in you know, national NFL beat writers of what, comeback player of the year, something like that. I mean, if he always gives his the thing I always give him credit for, he brings that swag we know, but he always gives his team, when he plays good and plays like that, an opportunity to win. It's gonna be really I want to see him in the playoffs because it's just fun. It's Baker Mayfield in the playoffs. I'm on board with that. I'm not saying they're going to make a run or anything. But he plays like that. I mean, you can see why he's still considered an NFL quarterback. And in someone like Tampa Bay said, let's give this guy a one-year shot. We need a guy. He's a capable dude. And now he's actually making a bid to keep them in the conversation of, well, do we re-up him? Do we keep him around?
I think that's the interesting part, right, is – has he what does he have to do to maybe remain the quarterback at Tampa Bay? I mean, they're too good to have a shot at probably, well, May or Williams. That they're not getting them.
No.
And so is Jalen Daniels an opportunity, or do you have you seen enough out of Baker Mayfield to think, gosh, maybe he can be a bridge type guy,
right,
for another couple of years?
Go,
until
draft a guy anyways, but
right,
but
well,
you know, but Baker's our starter,
or is it Trask? Do you let him keep learning? What do you know about? I mean, I think that's part of the problem, if you want to call it a problem, for Tampa this year, is that Baker's played so well for most of the season that they haven't got a chance to see any of Kyle Trask. Mm-hmm. They have no idea if he's capable, right? And, you know, that's – problem isn't the right word. Conundrum maybe might – you know, the – but he's
– they were in a win-win.
It's one of his best – this is definitely one of his best, if not the best season. You know, there was a year there in Cleveland in 2020 where they got his team to the playoffs, won a game at Pittsburgh in the playoffs. A lot of people didn't give him a ton of credit for that because of the run game that Cleveland had. But this year, man, you look at his numbers and 64% – thrown for 3,300 yards so far and 24 touchdowns versus only 8 picks. So a 3-1 there. And it seems like those picks happened a long time. You know, he might have one, but those things we saw out of him, you know, either at Cleveland or Carolina where you'd see a 2 or 3 pick game, those feel like an anomaly now versus, you know, once every couple of times every season.
It'd be real interesting to see what happens in the draft, what we just mentioned. Do they go get a guy? Will there be a quarterback available? Do they feel like they're comfortable in their quarterback room right now? And then who do they go draft? You know, do they go get a skill player and go, let's help Baker out. Let's go get a guy. Let's go get someone else.
That's to me, the biggest question outside of maybe Baker is also then Mike Evans.
Yeah.
So Mike Evans is going to be a
and you know, I'm a
agent.
Big Mike Evans fan. I've always said he makes a lot of average quarterbacks look really good. He made Johnny Football look like a Heisman winner. Oh, wait, he was.
I think he's the only receiver of all time, maybe him and Jerry Rice, to have 1,000 yards in your first 10 seasons. Is that right? I mean, he's had 1,000 yard every year.
Yeah.
Maybe it's nine. Maybe it's just nine seasons. But, I mean, he has been an absolute weapon, like an under-the-radar weapon.
Sure, yeah.
You know, you kind of knew of him because of Brady, but even then, Brady, he was that deep threat that maybe Brady couldn't quite get it to him, you know, because of age or what have you. But all he's done is just produce. And so what I think probably going into the season, him, you don't know what he's thinking, but you got to be – you know, oh, man, what about this is going to be my quarterback? Can he get me the ball? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And now you're 14 games, still three games to go. You've already cracked 1,000 yards, put up 11 touchdowns. I mean, okay. Does he think to himself, we're good enough? Baker's good enough to be able to stay here? And you know he's got some of that feeling, right, mm-hmm. of, God, it's the only place I've ever been. I love it here.
Right.
That'll be an interesting one to see what Mike Evans does, even without Baker.
Well, and then who comes calling?
Without Baker's decision, yeah.
Right. Who comes? We see a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So he's gonna get – I think he'll get a lot of calls.
Well, that he was a big name back before the trade deadline mm-hmm. of someone somewhere, Kansas City. Mm. Maybe they could go after. That clearly didn't happen. On the text line, Sam said, Traver's going to get beat up today with the Steelers losing and Baker playing well. No, he won't. No, he won't. Because he's got the Cowboys to fall back on.
Oh, sure.
And just rip to shreds. And rightfully so. And rightfully so. Two teams kept rolling. You know who I'm talking about?
Two teams?
Yep, two teams.
One of them.
Two teams are rolling.
Oh, wow. 49ers and Ravens, right?
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I 49ers wonder, and Ravens. Is Purdy healthy? I know he went into the tent. I was just kind of lackadaisically following that situation.
He had to come back
because I never saw an alert that said he's.
I think it may have been a head. I think they were checking him for a concussion.
Gotcha.
16-20.
He's good though.
Here's another thing that happened yesterday. For all intents and purposes, Brock Purdy may have won the MVP.
Yeah.
Dak was just horrible. And, you know, he's kind of the next guy. I saw the odds last night. He was an even money, 1-1. The one part that might hurt him in his MVP chase is if he splits votes with his teammate.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like a McCaffrey. Heisman thing. When you had two Heisman candidates on a team, you always kind of wonder, do they take away from each other?
You know, a lot of people were kind of pointing at the way that the Dolphins struggled on offense without Tyreek. Last week, when he went out, you know, he's kind of in and out and how much the Dolphins really struggled offensively. Can't really say that this week.
Yeah, he was out this week too, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they put up 30 against what has been a fantastic defense in the Jets. Jalen Waddle, thankfully, for my fantasy team at least, without Tyreek, he becomes kind of the guy. And we needed more games like that than what we got. With Tyreek having such an explosive, that's the one part problem for him is that 2,000 yards might have put him at the top of the MVP because people don't want to give it to Mr. Irrelevant or they wanted to give it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Out there in San Francisco, but if he's not going to get to 2,000 because he's hurt, I think that it doesn't. He's still the second favorite, I think, right now. Tyreek was, but man, if you don't get to that magical number and setting that record and doing it in maybe the next two games, so that you can say, hey, I did it in 16, just like Jerry Rice or you know, Cooper Kupp did. That hurts. At least his MVP candidacy, I think. Good stuff, though. Who's tonight? Philly and Seattle. Are either quarterback going to play?
I don't know. That's a weird situation with Jalen. I guess he's totally traveling separate from the team, doesn't want to get the whole team sick. I feel for you, man. I mean, after getting over what I got over, I get it. And that's going to be – I would be surprised if he goes, if it's truly like a flu-like thing.
Well,
I'd be – because that just takes out so much of you.
And here's the deal. With Dallas losing yesterday, Philly doesn't necessarily have to have this game. Because they finish home Giants, home Cardinals, at Giants. Well, that's three wins. So you can book them at, what would that be, 13-4 at worst.
If they lose tonight, yeah.
If they lose tonight. Dallas is – that the best Dallas can do is 13-4. Well, then the tie breaks go to Philly because of what conference record is going to be. So I think that's – now, they do have the number one seed to play for if the Niners slip up one time. Doesn't look like that's going to happen right now, but you never know. Who does San Francisco got left? Seems like the Rams.
I thought it was pretty Charmin soft. It is,
Ravens.
No, they got Ravens.
Ravens at home, at Commanders, and then Rams at home.
Yeah, so maybe one tough game there.
Yeah, Rams playing pretty good.
Yeah, it's at home, though.
We'll talk about the, we'll do our top five and kind of look at the playoff picture. After tonight's game, we'll do that tomorrow. Give us a better view with three games to go, kind of what you're looking at. I think it's obvious Dallas is going to play the NFC South champ. New Orleans, Atlanta, just like last year, or Tampa.
Tampa, yeah.
Wrapping up a Monday, some basketball talk. You mentioned, yeah, something that I don't know if you would have told me, say at the end of October, you to come in here and out of nowhere, you're like, hey, let's talk college hoops. Like, all right, what do you want to talk about? Big 12? Yeah, it's going to be good. You're right. And you'd say, you know what, Aaron? On the AP poll the week of December the 18th, OU's going to be a top 10 team. I'm afraid I'd have had to...
You would have
stopped the show, let you just mumble to yourself because you've clearly lost it, and go down the hall and be like, hey, we got to do something about Jared.
We need to have him committed.
He is lost.
I'm really worried about him.
He has absolutely lost his mind. Did you hear what he just said? Well, it turns out that Oklahoma, undefeated, what, 10-0, 11-0, 10-0. 10-0. They were number 11 last week, and some teams ahead of them lost this week. And so Sooners going to roll into North Carolina Wednesday as a top 10 team. Carolina lost a close one to Kentucky over the weekend. They've had back-to-back losses to Connecticut and Kentucky. But shocking, right? Considering what we've seen from Porter Mosier's team so far in his tenure, and this one is completely different, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, usually the red flags go up when the entire roster has been revamped, more or less, right? You think there's no way that they can totally, lose those guys in the portal or ask them to leave. Who knows how that goes down. And then go and get these guys and get what you're getting. But it's a Porter Mosier team. I think that was his idea, was I got to get – this is how I won at Loyola Chicago. This is the type of players I want now. And he went and got it. So he used the portal to his advantage. But no one saw this coming. And there's a lot of season left. You mentioned the North Carolina game. Of course, the rigors of the Big 12. You got Houston and Baylor and Texas and on and on. So, but this is impressive. I mean, Porter Mosier right now is up there with. I mean, if this continues, he's going to have to be considered maybe a Coach of the Year awards, whether it be in the Big 12 or nationally. And we'll see how far it takes him out. But what's crazy is Saturday I'm watching the game against Green Bay, and they won easily. And you start seeing, well, last time a Sooners team, an OU team started 10-0, this happened. And two out of those three times, well, one was a Final Four run with Buddy Hield. The other one was the Elite Eight run with Taylor, or with the Griffins. And then the other one was just an NIT. They went off a cliff after that. But two out of three ain't bad. So let's see what happens here. I'm interested to see what happens. I'm really interested to see what happens in Charlotte against North Carolina. You mentioned what North Carolina, who they've played. They've challenged themselves. It's still North Carolina. It's still the Tar Heels. It's in North Carolina. That I think we're going to learn a lot. Did OU beat up on a lot of bad teams? I mean, Arkansas, are they bad? Are they mediocre? Are they, what are they? You know, Providence too. But or are they legit? Are they legit a top 10 team? I'm really anxious to see what happens. Really anxious to see what happens. But I'll go back to what I said earlier, Aaron. I'm not going to get overly excited just yet.
Yeah, is this more the Trey Young year or actually have staying power?
That's the question, the staying power.
Yeah.
That's the question.
That's the last time that there's been excitement, right? The Trey Young year. Mm-hmm. And it fizzled.
It did.
This team is completely different than that one. I don't think you'd have there's no lottery. There's no lottery pick on this team.
No, that's the thing. There's a lot. I don't want to say no names. But
you're starting to see some buzz, at least for a few of them, to actually get drafted, be NBA players. And I think
McCollum has a chance.
Well, Owe for sure.
Owe has a chance to be good players.
You know, Owe just kind of looks – his game is kind of an NBA game, right, yeah, with the athleticism. Mm-hmm. And
McCollum, you know, though, man, he's –
he's just little.
He can create space to make his shot. Electric when he gets that first step on a guy, turning the corner on a dude, he can go. I like his game. But credit at Porter Moser, though. He's built this team in his vision. Like this, you know, bunch of no-name guys, they're playing his brand of ball, and it's fun. I mean, it's a lot of fun, a lot of run and gun. It took him a little bit to pull it, not a little bit. Once they had not hit a three, and that's a big part of their game is hitting the three ball. And they weren't hitting their threes against Green Bay. And suddenly it's 21-20. So that's a little concerning. If they go flat from outside, then I think a team has a shot to beat them. But once they start hitting those threes, the rest is history. They pull away from teams.
Yeah, that's just the way it is.
It is.
A lot of times.
They're especially fun. And they play defense too.
Mm-hmm.
They play defense.
Yeah, they've got guys like Goodwin. I know that Musselman from Arkansas was really complimentary of Sam Goodwin, or Godwin, I guess, in the way that he plays and just being that guy, being a glue guy and a guy that, you know, everybody wants. You know, of all the guys to pick out, he picked him out, mm-hmm, just to almost highlight, listen, you're not going to see the stat sheet filled every night, but the guy does so much more than what you're looking at as a fan versus what I'm looking at as a coach, basically, mm-hmm, is what he was trying to say. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the good teams always have guys like that, you know. And the portal has been fantastic for Oklahoma. McCollum, Hughley, there's a few more names that coming in. But at the end of the day, I think Moser being able to keep Owe and Uzon was kind of the catalyst for everything that's happened since. You know, those, mm-hmm, two guys go away, and then, you know, what's the point? What's the lure for other guys to come in? And so I think that was huge, him keeping those guys out of the portal after freshman year.
When they get to conference play, and I'll end my thoughts on OU basketball about this. When they get to conference play.
Well, it's just different, man.
It's going to be great.
It's a street fight in the Big 12.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And just looking at some games, I mean, I've already think, okay, well, if this is real, I might want to go take a Saturday if I have it open and go see them play. But there's one game that I think is going to be incredibly interesting if they continue to play good and if this other team continues to play good, and that's against Houston. Houston and Norman. You got Kelvin coming back. Who knows? It could be a top 10 team, top 10 matchup between the two teams. Who knows? A lot of season to play between now and then. But there's a lot of good games too, obviously.
Yeah, that's
being
clear
in the conference. I mean, BYU's coming to town. Kansas comes to town like on a Saturday afternoon. Of course, Bedlam. There's going to be those really good games. I think Kansas State's down this year. They got thumped by somebody over the weekend.
I can tell you right now, the Houston game is probably out.
Yeah, I just realized.
State tournament Saturday. State finals championship Saturday in the Big House for A&B.
I just realized that.
Yeah. That's because when I first saw it, I was like, oh, we're going to be there. And then I realized, oh, man, if it was Friday,
maybe
have a
maybe
chance,
Friday.
Right? Saturday, a lot of times, takes
Saturday,
us out.
Saturday, yeah. Oh, well.
It's not a terrible start to the conference slate, though. host Iowa State, go to TCU. Obviously, at Canton, it doesn't matter where that one falls. That's going to be an impossible game to win.
At TCU will be tough.
OU hasn't won since 1993 in Lawrence. Wouldn't that be wild?
If this is the year.
Oklahoma football ends the Big 12 losing at Kansas, and Oklahoma basketball ends the Big 12 winning at Kansas.
That would be crazy.
But then West Virginia at Cincinnati before Texas and Texas Tech come to Norman. I mean, you put the Kansas one as a loss and probably split a couple of those road games with at best. But if you win the home games, you know, you start out, what, 4-5-2. That's, you know, it's going to be as it has been, especially when you start adding Houston into the mix. BYU's been really good so far this year. You look and, man, 3 or 4 or 5 conference losses isn't out of the realm of possibility to win the league.
Listen, that last team of OU, if I might be mistaken, I'm going off memory, the last OU team to make the Final Four with Buddy Hield, they lost 6 conference games. I mean, that's how tough that – even back then, the conference is tough. It's tougher now, I think, with Houston and Cincinnati, maybe even Central Florida. I don't know how good they are.
The one thing that is in OU's favor is BYU and Houston.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
When you look at some of the games that they don't have to – you know, there's, what, 5 doubleheaders, which Kansas, Texas, Oklahoma State, Iowa State. I can't remember who the other one is. Anyhow, but then when you start looking at the single games, yeah, you get – and Cincinnati's the other. Yep. But you get Houston at home. You get BYU at home. You do have to go to Baylor. But, you know, that's pretty – you know, Tech is here instead of at Tech.
Yeah.
The schedule is pretty favorable, I think, for the Sooners as far as the conference slate goes. Wrap it up.
Listen, there's – again, okay, my final thought. There's not a lot of places – where you don't have to pay a lot to go watch a top 10 team. You know what I mean? People need to start filling up the LNC right now. Take advantage of this. Go watch them play. I keep thinking, when can I go? I'm looking. Because it's an affordable ticket.
2 o'clock, New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
Monmouth.
Monmouth.
Just saying. That could be a good one.
Is that worth the drive to go watch a...
Depends on how bad you want to watch a top 10 team.
That's true. I should take my own advice.
Central Arkansas.
I think I'm busy, though. Dang it.
On a Thursday, the 28th at 5. Yeah. I bet you there's a huge crowd for that. 5 o'clock start. Are you kidding me? People can't get there by 6, much less 5. Anyhow, good stuff.
And crowd then last, wasn't bad Saturday, by the way. Wasn't bad.
You know
students kind of hung around.
That game in McCaslin got some students to the arena.
Got them excited.
And I think it has. And that can only help.
That's got to be an annual thing.
Try to energize the student body to get to the LNC.
They got it. Porter Mosier, since he's stepped
He's tried
on
and
campus,
tried and tried,
he's
man.
He's going to sorority houses, fraternity houses, talking to each and every one of them. That McCaslin game has got to be a thing like every year.
I think so too. Also, Thunder. Man, what a comeback against the defending champs.
That was awesome.
Down double digits in the fourth quarter. They just kind of found a way. And then kudos to Isaiah Joe. This part of that final 20 seconds is probably going to get overlooked. But when the Joker had to force that three at the end of the shot clock, Isaiah Joe, unbelievable effort to be able to get back in the play and at least tip the ball into the hands of Shea. And then, you know, once you got SGA to the free throw line, working away from Reg, you knew that shot was going in, right? I mean, he got to his spot where he wanted to get to, and he let it go. And you could see the bench.
Did you see the bench?
Oh, the bench they were already counting it when the ball left his hand. Like, when he spun away to get back to that elbow, they were already like, bam, this is in. And sure enough, it was. And the Thunder win 118-117. Chet, almost a triple-double with blocks, career-high 9. I saw a list yesterday for rookies that had like 15, 10 rebounds and more than like 8 blocks. There's only 4 other guys that did it their rookie year, and it was like the Admiral, Hakeem, Shaq, and like Wilt. I mean, whoever. I mean, it was a – who's who of
yeah.
of unbelievable players that Chet joins on that list. So a heck of a win after, you know, the Kings game. They just cannot beat the Kings. There's matchup things there that don't work in their favor right now with the way that the Kings play. But then to come back and split those two road games, I think you take a split all day long when you go out there versus Sacramento and also Denver.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of people like Chet right now if they're ranking rookies as number one.
There's a lot of them almost no way he can't be.
Nah, they're putting him up there. And game tonight, Memphis, so should be a winnable game.
Yeah, that's back at home, right?
Yeah.
This is one of the few breathers until the Boston game the second. It seems like there's a bunch of good basketball coming. Both LAs are here this week. Thursday, the Clippers. Saturday, the Lakers. Minnesota, who leads the West. Next Tuesday, the Knicks are here. Then you go back to Denver the 29th on Friday. Brooklyn's here for New Year's Eve, and then Boston's here the second. So they're still, man, it feels like every stretch you look at, you're going, well, it's going to be a tough stretch for the Thunder. You know what I mean? And we're need a little bit of a breather at some point. Maybe that's coming after the break. But so far, 16-8, number two in the West.
I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Approaching Christmas, I'll take that.
I mean, it's almost like the Thunder and OU is a little bit the same, except for the Thunder was expected to be better.
I think you expected it.
But you're also just kind of going, okay, how good are they? Are they really okay? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, I mean, at some point, it's going to be the halfway point of the season here in the next dozen games or so. And so,
yeah,
that's half the season's plenty large sample size to just go, you know what? These guys are pretty good.
Yeah.
Everybody have a great Monday. We'll be back tomorrow right here on the Skinny on Sports.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.